Welcome to our inaugural Spiritual Practice Podcast. In this first podcast, we want to share a little bit about who we are and what you can expect when you tune in. So here's a snapshot. First of all, let me introduce myself. I'm Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and I'm here with my co-host.
And I'm Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and my wife and I are the co-founders of an online spiritual ministry called the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.com.
And those of you who may have already visited our website know that it is packed with content for those who consider themselves to be more spiritual than religious.
And although we've moved beyond the limitations of a particular religious perspective, we've expanded some of the religious practices associated with that religious tradition and have elevated their theology to a higher spiritual octave.
And like the rest of the content on our website, Spiritual Cafe experiences at our Durham, North Carolina headquarters, and the workshops we conduct all over the country, this Your Spiritual Practice podcast will offer you a meta-spiritual approach to your spiritual growth.
Now, meta-spirituality may not be a term you're familiar with, mainly because we coined it, we invented it.
We do that sometimes, by the way. We love to make up words.
Oh, yes. People who know us, it's about languaging, of course. And as rebellious unity ministers, we change languaging a lot. You'll see that throughout not only this podcast, but our other podcasts and our website.
But let's talk about what metaspirituality means, because it is a different term, and we coined it for a reason. We coined it because it weds science and spirituality. We like to use the neurosciences, epigenetics, evolutionary biology, quantum physics, don't let this stuff scare you, but the latest developments in nanotechnology, positive psychology, and even the social sciences. We like to bring all of those together as a basis for our spiritual perspective. So all of the spiritual practices we talk about on our podcasts will be research-based and spiritually oriented.
Here's what we believe about spiritual practices in general. Your overall spiritual practice refers to the intentional and purposeful choices you make, actions you take, soul-deepening habits you adopt, and rituals you perform each day to nurture your connection with your divine nature, your innate divine nature. It means becoming consciously one with your higher spiritual self so you can master the art of living by staying connected with your own truth and purpose.
And we believe this is really powerful. We think it's really important. Soul deepening, you heard Bill use that phrase. Soul deepening is an intentional personal journey inward to experience your soulfulness. And you know how you do that? You do that by building into each day spiritual practices that keep you focused on your spiritual growth. We did say every day, didn't we?
Yes.
And we believe that. We think it's not something extra you do, but it's actually part of how you live. A spiritual practice is not a dogmatic path. It's not a worshiping an anthropomorphic God meme in the sky. That's a phrase Bill made up that I love, God meme in the sky, who's an entity separate from you path. It's a path of self-realization. And it acknowledges that you're a human expression of the omnipresent universal consciousness. That's similar to the eternal presence, the pure universal consciousness, the one reality, the infinite isness. We believe that you get to pick what you want to call it. Our preference is omnipresent universal consciousness, but this is expressing itself as you in human form.
And you'll find that we appeal to the God of your understanding, okay, but the God of our understanding is not, as Cher mentioned previously, an anthropomorphic deity in the sky. It's not a person. It's not a god or goddess, for that matter. However, it is what we believe to be an omnipresent universal consciousness, which is more than energy. It even uses energy. The spiritual practices can take many forms. And that's the wonderful thing about devoting yourself to an overall spiritual practice. You can decide what practices constitute your overall practice. Now, while the forms of spiritual practices may differ, the intent is the same nurturing the connection with your higher spiritual self, which we call the extraordinary you or your super self.
The spiritual practices that we share with you are all sacred experiences. Now, here's what's interesting, and we found this out from our own practice, that they can involve just a few precious moments, or they can take longer nuggets of your time. See, people sometimes think they have to devote an entire 30 minutes or something for a spiritual practice. And we have found that that's helpful, it's good, but you can also do things in the moment. They're often considered events. That would be like meditation or walking a labyrinth or doing yoga, peace vigils, chanting, creating a mandala, fasting. I don't like fasting, but it is one that a lot of people like. And even prayer.
Well, now the fasting that we talk about, you'll hear us talk about, it's not a food fast at all. It's fasting from negative thinking. It's fasting from error thoughts, if you will, bad practices that essentially limit your higher good. So that's the only fasting you'll hear Sharon and I talk about.
And that kind of fasting I do believe
absolutely.
In. So here, anyway, we believe, and this is really the bottom line, life itself can be a spiritual practice.
Yes.
That's a wow. Life itself can be a spiritual practice. Everything you think, say, and do can be considered a spiritual practice. Washing dishes, texting a friend, I don't know, listening to music or being on Facebook, jogging, eating, taking a shower. Well, camping, some people love, not me. Fishing, not me. Hiking is okay, but you'll get the idea. Anything that allows you to get in touch with the sacred, to quiet your mind and connect with your higher spiritual self, to honor the divinity in others, as well as yourself, is a spiritual practice. Our website's filled with spiritual practices. We're adding more every week. And this podcast is an opportunity, every single podcast, to share a spiritual practice for you to try.
Sharon had mentioned previously texting. And we recommend that you be a little zenful in your emails, for example, in texting, because that means that you don't have any attachments to go along with that. I know. Okay.
You'll have to get used to Bill's humor as well on these podcasts.
Okay, so listen, developing a regular spiritual practice is a highly personal and intuitive process. We feel certain you'll find the perfect practices that resonate with your core being. So we applaud your desire to live a more spiritual life. After all of us, we believe, and we believe this with all of our heart, are simply spiritual beings who have chosen a human experience. And Sharon and I call a human experience here in Earth School, if you will, skin school. And so all of us are matriculating through skin school. And we feel certain that you'll find the perfect practices, again, that resonate with your core being.
So choosing the right spiritual practices, because we are going to be sharing so many, how do you know what's right for you? Well, that's the whole point. Choose what works for you. Adopting a practice that someone else recommends, even us, and we certainly recommend the spiritual practices we talk about, but it's not nearly as important as how you feel while you're engaged in it. You've got to be willing to try out a number of practices. That's the value of this podcast, because we're going to be giving you something, every podcast, one to try out. Look for a good fit between the practice and you. You won't know till you try it. When you commit to a practice, see it as one of the ways to express your spiritual unfoldment. We recommend you make it high on your lifestyle priority list and see it as concrete evidence of walking your talk.
So here are 7 benefits that we recommend that you'll receive from a daily spiritual practice. And it's not a chore. It's not a job. We don't see it that way at all. It's part of your daily expression, your daily living. For example, the first one we suggest is that your practice simply connects you with your higher spiritual self, the extraordinary you, and the inner peace, joy, wholeness, happiness, and soul depth that characterize that sacred alignment between your human self and your divine nature.
That in itself, to me, is enough of a benefit.
If we can do that, yeah, for sure.
We'd have it made. But you know what? There are other benefits too. Another benefit is it will touch you. It'll touch you so deeply that even the ordinary moments become extraordinary moments. And here's how, in the sense that you see how it contributes to your continual unfoldment and spiritual direction. Every moment becomes special.
And it will definitely bring you the satisfaction of a broader outlook on life as you find yourself smiling inwardly and reverently with the confidence and assurance you've gained through daily practice. We guarantee it.
Yeah, and that inward smile shows through. It'll shine through your entire being. People will see that difference.
They will.
And you know what? There's more. It opens doors to higher spiritual, esoteric, and metaphysical thought because your overall consciousness operates at a higher octave. And one of the things Bill and I have found is that as you get into this, you realize the more you know, the more there is to know. And that's what we mean when we say it opens doors to higher understanding, because you just want to continue to keep it growing.
And the reason Cher's mentioned the metaphysical thought is, quite frankly, it ups your consciousness when you begin thinking in those kind of realms, thinking outside of any kind of literal interpretation of anything. If you move the literality up to a more esoteric and metaphysical, meta-spiritual level, it expands your awareness overall in a lot of things. It becomes second nature to you. It also ensures that a positive outlook and a sense of groundedness come more readily regardless of what you're experiencing in skin school. It's almost like being in skin school but not of skin school, in the sense that you're a prisoner, if you will, of your earth experiences.
I love that one because it really does help you recognize that you're not bound to the world outer appearance.
Yes.
And we'll be talking a lot about positivity in future podcasts. And you'll see that it doesn't mean seeing the world through rose-colored glasses. It means acknowledging what's going on and then recognizing your ability to be in control. A couple other things that does, having a spiritual practice, it brings a sense of freedom and control. Aren't those two great words? A preference to show compassion and kindness. And hey, can't we use that more in this world right now? And it'll deepen your authenticity and integrity as well. All great things. Very powerful.
Yeah. And Sharon and I combined the two words, authenticity and integrity, into one word called authentegrity.
And a mashup word.
Yep. And finally, I think we believe it teaches you a reverence for life and the importance of present moment living as you become a student of your own awakening. And that's the key to any of the spiritual practices. Cher and I have, over 500 spiritual practices that we'll be talking about over the course of our podcast, specifically designed podcast for spiritual practices specifically. And there's something, again, we've coined. Spiritual practices aren't just experiences in higher thought. They're experiences, and there's a difference between experiences and experiences when it comes to spiritual practices. For example, spiritual practices where you are walking a labyrinth, for example, any practice that depends upon your five physical senses is an experience. The spiritual practices where you go inside and connect with the core of your being, where you aren't tied to the five physical senses, but it's simply thoughts, feelings, emotions, those are what we call experiences, and they're just as important as the experiences.
And that's probably new information for people as well. So hopefully we're not overwhelming you with lots of new stuff, but it's important to know where we're coming from and the different things we're going to be sharing. So we're going to toss out one more idea to you in this inaugural podcast. We want to talk about sacred space and how you create your own personal sacred space. Because since we believe spiritual practice is a lifestyle practice, the sacred space you create can be anywhere you want. We think that's kind of cool. So you can have two kinds, just like the inspirience and experience. You can have a fixed spiritual space, and that's like a special room or corner of a room, maybe a windowsill, somewhere that's there all the time for spiritual practice that you do where you want to be in a specific place, where you do your meditation, your prayer, listening to music, drawing, painting, creating mandalas, journaling, exercising if the space is big enough, but you're doing it intentionally with the process of spiritual practice in your mind.
You can also create what we call a mobile spiritual space that travels with you wherever you go, because that mobile space is you, the active you in motion. Examples of these spiritual practices are running, walking, working in the yard, hiking, one of the things that we do, washing dishes, of course, ballroom dancing, something that Sharon and I love to do.
Love that.
Golfing, going to the theater, gardening, cycling, vacation, etc., etc.
Doing jigsaw puzzles.
One of those passions. Yeah, thank you. As a matter of fact, I use jigsaw puzzles as my mandalas. Because once you take the puzzle, put it together, and be very detailed about that, very patient and really what I call meditative, to do the jigsaw puzzle, and then, of course, you disassemble it, just as the Buddhists do their mandalas.
I love it. That's great. So you know what could be good is maybe we can give them an example of what we do.
Yeah.
So we have a fixed spiritual space. It's a dedicated meditation room upstairs. And one of the walls is a stone wall with paintings and banners hanging on the walls. On the other three walls, we have different kinds of pictures, photographs, paintings, plaques, dream catchers. We kind of collect very interesting spiritual things that connect with us, that resonate with us. So we have different statuettes, we have a singing bowl, we have candles, we have copies of books that we like the Metaphysical Gospels that Bill wrote, shameless plug, and his meditation book, Revelation book. We have candelabras, lots of candles. Then we use the little electric candle lights to use them so they're safe in our room up there. And it's just a really powerful place to be. We have cushions, we have a love seat, we have a nice comfortable chair. And it's just a place where we walk in and the energy there, as the more we're there, the more the energy builds. And people have walked into that room when we've shown it to them, and they can immediately, it's palpable, they can feel the powerful energy.
Oh, yeah. We also have several Buddhas because we like to have a beautiful experience while we're up there. We also light candles every time we use our meditation room and enjoy the ambiance of just being there, sitting in the silence. There's a special energy that Sarah mentioned before that permeates the entire room, and people who have entered our meditation and prayer room feel it. They tell us that, and we feel it, of course, every time we enter the room ourselves. The room itself is an altar to our spiritual practice.
And by the way, on our website, theglobalcenterforspiritualawakening.com, we actually have pictures of our meditation room. So you can go there and take a peek at it and see how it looks, because that way you can you've heard it, now you can see it when you go to our site. Now, that's the fixed spiritual space. But when we're out and about, we see whatever we do as part of our spiritual practice. We believe we take our spiritual headquarters with us. It's easy to incorporate whatever we do as a spiritual practice. Essentially, our body is the altar in mobile spiritual space. And our mind-body connection ensures that the human us, no matter where we are, exemplifies the spiritual us. So it's really a conscious awareness and intentionality, recognizing that mobile spiritual space is who we are, where we are, no matter what we're doing. And it's just as important as a fixed spiritual space in helping us see everything we do as spiritual work.
And of course, we recommend both fixed and mobile spiritual spaces because spirituality is not something you do separate from daily living, in our opinion. You'll hear us say that a lot, by the way, in our opinion. It's how you frame your daily living when you think about it. Aligning your human self with your higher self is walking your talk. And when you establish that alignment through spiritual practices and through higher thought, that alignment is what we believe is the very definition of prosperity when you think about it. And we'll talk more about that in a later podcast. But aligning your human self with your higher self is walking the spiritual path on practical feet. Specifically, it's turning the ordinary you into the extraordinary you.
So there you have it. That's a bit about who we are. And beginning with our next podcast, we're going to be offering spiritual practices that are life-changing practices. And we'll invite you to adopt the ones that resonate with you. We invite you to try them all and just take the ones that really resonate and begin to build them into your overall spiritual practice. Before we leave, let us give you a spiritual adventure until you listen to our next podcast. We want you to start thinking about your own spiritual space, your fixed space, your mobile space. What does it look like? If you don't have one, where could you set one up? Even if you're in a little tiny apartment, you can pick a windowsill where you put a few things that are very special and help bring out your spirituality. As you go out and do, as you're out and about in your life, ask yourself, how can I turn this into a spiritual practice, what I'm doing right now by creating this mobile spiritual space, which is what's going on in my consciousness.
And of course, these spiritual spaces are what we believe to be sacred spaces. But when you think about it, because we're spiritual beings who have chosen a human experience, every step we take, every step you take is sacred ground, because you're a sacred being. You're a spiritual being, and that's what we believe.
And we want you to know that you are worthy. We bless you, appreciate you, and look forward to having you with us for our next podcast. Until then, walk the spiritual path on practical feet.
Yes. Namaste.